Let's introduce our panel before we get to our first call. They are here to help me out. All four of us will try and fill the shoes of one Lou Manfredini. Mike Houston, I still don't know if we're going to get to 100%, but we'll do our best, buddy. How you doing?
Great, man. How are you?
I'm doing really well. You're all decked out in your cubby gear. You're ready for game five, bud.
Game five tonight, 7:08.
I know you're still debating driving up there, so.
I don't know. Yeah.
You're a big Cubs fan. You're from Lindholm Roofing. Tell us all that you do.
So at Lindholm Roofing, we've been in business now for 76 years, family-owned and operated, third generation, fourth, I don't know, pretty soon.
Yeah, okay.
Well, right. Maybe not too soon, but
I was going to say, don't.
They're a little young, but
okay.
But that's okay. They're there. And then we do roofing, siding, gutters, downspouts, tuck pointing, windows, insulation, a lot of the outside portions of your home.
I love that. Let's introduce John Betke, owner of Betke Plumbing. John, good to meet you, my friend. How you doing?
Good to meet you. Doing great.
We need a plumber today. I know a lot of people have plumbing questions, and I don't want to feel those myself. If there's one thing I don't want to do in the house myself, it's plumbing, right? That's the one thing that and electrical are the two things even the handiest person should maybe leave to the professionals.
Well, there's some basics that are okay.
Okay. Yeah, tighten this thing there. What's tell us a little bit about Betke Plumbing.
So Betke Plumbing's a residential and light commercial service provider. We specialize in home maintenance and preventing emergencies.
I love that. So you're ready to prevent something from happening so you don't have to get a call in the middle of the night.
Absolutely. Keep the emergencies from happening.
I love that. And we got Mr. Bob Berttog, who you are a familiar voice to me is when I fill in for John Williams. We chat, that's Wednesdays, Bob, we do that?
Wednesdays at 1:10, yes.
And here at 6 in the morning on a Saturday.
Busy morning.
Yeah, for sure. Tell us a little bit about Berttog Landscaping.
We're a firm out of Wheeling, Illinois, and we design, we build, and maintain properties all along the North Shore from basically Lake Geneva to Chicago. Been doing it since 1974.
Love that. All right, you guys all ready for our first call? Let's hope we can do it. It's with our good friends, sponsored by Mr. Floor. And I should mention, we're live from the PermaSeal Concrete Repair Studios, leveling up your home. All right, let's get to Joyce with our first call. Hi, Joyce. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
That's good to hear you. You're our first call of the day. You're here to help make sure that we get off to a good start, Joyce, so no pressure.
Okay.
So what can we help you with today, or at least try to?
I have a gas fireplace, and my logs just get black with soot, and my flame is not blue like it is on your stove, you know, like your gas stove. So I'm just wondering if that's okay. I had someone look at it. They said, you don't need to have a gas fireplace cleaned because it doesn't make creosote.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But all your logs are like blacked over and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
I used a toothbrush to get some of that off and vacuumed it off.
Okay.
But, I mean, it just comes back.
Yeah. All right. Fireplaces off the get-go.
That is a
Joyce,
problem.
Joyce, can you move the logs around and get them a little further away from the gas and the fire flame sources?
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
If you can improve the airflow and improve the room around the logs, that might make a big difference.
Okay. And I can do that.
The yellow flame usually comes from lack of proper mixture of oxygen, so your
ventilation,
right? Exactly. So it should be a beautiful blue flame. If you can't get it adjusted to that, then you probably shouldn't be burning.
Yeah. And Joyce, I'm sure you've heard the name Lindemann Chimney. They do a lot of stuff with fireplace as well. You could always follow up with them. I know Lou was talking with them last week on fire safety, Joyce. But I would, move the logs, improve the airflow, see if that helps out at all. And when in doubt, call a pro. Lindemann does great work, Joyce.
Okay. So how else can I clean those logs off?
I don't know.
Any other way?
A dedicated fireplace cleaner.
Do they have those?
They do. I just don't know any per se products that I can name, but I know that there's dedicated fireplace log cleaning solutions or materials.
I'm starting a Lou list where I'm going to email them after the show. And here's the first one. Okay. What's a good log cleaner? And Joyce, maybe he'll be able to follow up next week. But Lindemann's a great resource as well after you follow some of the tips that our panel gave you. Sound good?
Sounds Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Nice
job. I'll move those logs.
Oh, and hang on the line. We're going to get you your Mr. Floor Cleaner, and Iridian's going to help out with that. Iridian, who is my great producer on Let's Get Legal, which we will have this afternoon. Your Money Matters. She does Hochberg, and she's here this morning filling in today for Lindsay. 621 here on WGN, House Smarts Radio. We got Mike Houston. Mike, I always forget, Mike or Michael? How do I not know this by now?
Either way.
Now, which one do you like best?
Michael.
I'm going to go with Michael then. If that's what you like, Michael, I'm going to call you Michael.
Michael's good.
All right, Michael Houston. That's what it says on my sheet. I just always, you know, we know each other now. I wanted to make
a bit.
Little, yeah, exactly. You've been on my roof, so.
I've been on your roof.
Yeah, that's a close personal relationship you have. Much like your plumber. Boy, you get to know your customers pretty well, John, don't you?
We do. We've got customers since the day one in business.
And you talk about preventative plumbing disasters. I mean, I guess addressing things ahead of time. What are some common things that might be happening in your home that might spell potential problems in the future? Like, what would I be noticing in my sinks, toilets, bathtubs that might say, ooh, something might be up here a little bit?
Toilets that burp, water coming from places it shouldn't be. All the common stuff.
All the obvious
but
ones.
But like Mike said earlier, though, as long as you know a few basics, like where's the main shutoff, right? So when that happens, you get to it and you know how to operate it.
That's a great point. How many people roughly know, percentage-wise, where their main shutoff is?
It's shocking. Few. Less than half.
I think I know where mine is.
It's where mine is.
Yeah, I was just saying. I'm like, before I judge everyone else, I think it's down in the little bump-out utility closet in the basement. It's a little red valve. Okay, I think that's where I'm going with that thing. So, but everyone, maybe some homework for everyone today. Learn where your main shutoff is, yeah?
100%. And if we come out, we actually valve tag it with a fluorescent tag, so it's easy to find when you're under pressure. So, yeah.
When the water is...
When the water's flowing.
right, exactly. When it's like a Mission Impossible moment, when you really have to go down and see it, maybe in the dark, as you're saying.
Exactly.
Fluorescent tag. Bob Bertok, how's everything going in the landscaping world? You guys busy? You're preparing for our fall and winter here?
This is the time of year for prepping for winter. You want to take care of your grass. It's an opportunity to top dress and seed. But I do want to say that we're still well below where we should be for water, especially going into winter with... I don't care as much about the grass as the trees and shrubs. They are starving for water right now.
And how do I know? I mean, is the tree going to tell me if it needs water, or is it if an established tree starts showing me signs that's in a distress that maybe it's too late, or is it going to tell you?
The signs are early defoliation, which we have a lot of that right now for fall. So people are just thinking early fall, don't really think the reason. But the reason is because it's stressed and it wants water. But even if it's defoliating, the roots are the most active this time of the year. So you can deeper water, put a slow trickle on it for, you know, I like to say 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock for 10 minutes a section. Let it really soak in.
Is the best way to do that buy a timer that'll automatically do that, hook it up? Because going out there 10 minutes a time at 12, 3, 6, and 9 doesn't seem like something I'm going to do.
You put your earbuds in and just hang out in the yard and set your timer for every 10 minutes.
That's and how often do you think we do that? Once a week or something, or more than that?
I'm doing it twice a week on a tree I planted in the spring.
Really?
Yep.
And is any of the new trees and the new shrubs maybe you planted this year, I mean, those root systems are especially fragile right now, right?
Those are the most important ones. Your well-established trees, they'll be okay, but if you put anything in this year, you want to give it a really good drink before it goes to bed in the winter.
I need to remember to take pictures of some of my trees every year to try and track what is normal or not, because we have a big green giant arborvitae, a row of them. They essentially act as our back fence to a parking lot, so I want those to survive as long as possible. They're getting a little brown this year in certain spots. It's not overtaking the whole thing, but I feel like every year they do it a little bit.
So I'm going to comfort you with saying that the normal procedure, that's their defense mechanism, is they drop their inner needles so they don't have to feed as much of the plant. So what you're seeing is normal. So don't panic.
Okay. And they're pretty well established. We do have a soaker hose underneath it wound around that once a week we pop on for a couple hours. So.
Perfect.
And any rain in the forecast? It's crazy.
It's nuts without the water, without rain.
It's at least cooled down a little bit. Does that
help
with the stress? Yeah, okay.
It helps a lot.
And the days are obviously getting shorter, so you have less sunlight that's blaring on these plants.
Yes.
At least a little. And the angle is probably a little bit better of the sunlight.
Correct.
It's not like the middle of summer, but it's been something.
Water's affected our business as well.
I was going to say, how so? Yeah?
Well, sure, because if it doesn't rain, your roof typically doesn't leak. Your gutters typically don't overflow. As of about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, I think we were like 33% down in precipitation for the year?
Oh, I'm sure.
Is that about right?
That's about right, yeah.
Well, I mean, and September especially.
That's
I think
a lot.
September, we had a half an inch of rain. That's
and we're supposed to get about three or four, yeah. Right. And, you know, it's been a weird year in that we will have some rain, but except for the soaking that we had earlier this week, which was a good long soak, we've had some real downpours in specific areas. That's when I called you when my sunroom was leaking because we got 4 or 5 inches twice within 2 days.
Yeah, 4 or 5 inches on the roof and 2 inches in the house.
Yeah, exactly.
And that helps Michael's business, but when it rains that hard, that fast, it doesn't help your landscape because it just rolls off and most of it ends up in the sewers.
Yeah, for sure. Mike, I know you want people. Michael, I know you want people. See, now there we go. I know you want people thinking about winter, and even if they haven't had the rain, going around the house, taking a look, and if you don't know what you're looking for, call you guys to take a solid look at the roof before winter.
It's more common sense than anything. You don't need to get on your roof, take a chance on a ladder and falling down to, you know, use binoculars, look around your house, grab your downspouts, and if they're loose, you know, find a way to tighten them up or hire someone like us to tighten them up. Look at your roof. You know, are things looking, do you have raccoons living up there that you don't even know about or squirrels walking around that are digging in holes? How old is your roof? Is it 10, 15, 20 years old? Sometimes those roofs need a little maintenance. Your gutters and downspouts, you got a terrarium growing out of them.
Yeah,
right. You know, well, maybe you should get them cleaned.
Yeah. Do you do the inspections and a walk around like at a flat rate where you can walk through with people?
Our inspections are free. Our estimates are free. We will come out and we will take a look at your roof. We'll take a look at your siding, gutters, windows. We'll give you an idea of what it's going to cost to get these things up to par, get you through the winter.
What I love about you guys, you're not pushy. You tell them, here's what we got. Here's what as much is going to cost. Here's what I advise. Take it or leave it. And, you know, we're not going to call you 10 times to try and push you to do it.
We're not that high pressure, knock on the door, sit down with mom and pop and try and push a overpriced job on you. No, right. We don't do that.
That's great to hear. Anything ahead of fall or winter from the plumbing perspective we should start be thinking about now, or it's not quite cold enough to be doing the outside spouts and stuff yet,
it's,
right?
It's getting there. We're going to be getting real close to the sub-freezing, so making sure your hose faucets are shut off. If you have inside shutoffs, get them drained down, because the last thing you want to have happen is you go to turn it on in the spring and you're flooding your basement. So, yeah start the winterizing process now as soon as you're done watering.
I was going to say, we're at this strange juxtaposition where we need to water our plants, but the temperature soon will be at a point where we have to drain the faucet.
Not safe.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So we got to find that middle ground. But those are common things, especially, I imagine, for snowbirds, anyone that's leaving for the winter.
100%. And don't turn your thermostat down. Every winter we get calls about freezing pipes because the snowbirds turn their thermostat down to 60. You got to leave it where you did when you were living in the home.
Oh, see, 60 would seem fine to me. That's no good?
No, because when we get to our deepest, deepest colds, your furnace isn't going to be able to keep up if it's starting so low. So keep it where you would set it if you were in the house.
All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Starting to get some calls and some texts as well. John Hansen in for Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio. Get on the line, 312-981-7200. Don't worry, we have a panel of experts to help you on out. We're not quite at Lou's level, but we're doing our best, everybody, today. Join the conversation. We'll do that after Don Kleppen's news on WGN. Michael Houston, how did I do in that read about Lindholm? Did I do pretty good there?
I liked it.
Yeah, you like that? And how long have you been with Lindholm, by the way?
25 and a half years.
So you're not quite at that 30-year threshold that I just read about, but you're getting there.
I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Oh, you'll... You'll make it. You'll be doing my roof in, well, maybe 7 or 8 years, the full thing, after you guys did the sunroom?
I don't know. Your shingle roof looked pretty good.
All right, that feels good.
It did.
That's like the best news I've heard all day.
I didn't do a full inspection. No. I mostly did, you know, the rear flat, but what I saw looked okay.
All right, I like that. Let's go to Tom in Naperville. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Well, good morning. How you doing in Chicagoland here today?
Oh, we're doing great. The sun's going to come up in just a little bit. We got Cubbies. We got Blackhawks. We got Illini. We got Northwestern. It's a busy day, Tom.
Yes. First of all, I have a home that Mike has already come out to from Lindholm Roofing.
Oh, there you go.
It's in Naperville. It's valued between $600,000 and $675,000.
Okay.
It is a quarter acre that's got a lot of trees and it goes bends down. Anyway, neither here. LMI. Do you know who LMI is?
I do not know who LMI is.
Well, that's Lou Manfredini intelligence, not AI.
Oh, I like
it's
that.
LMI, okay?
That's good. All right. We don't have LMI okay, today. Now, we're doing our best.
Yes. Now, listen. He hires the best, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
First of all, I already have a contract in the next 2 years to sell the property.
Okay.
Okay? I don't have a teardown. It's a nice piece of property, but it's only 2 bedrooms and 2 baths and 2-car garage. My question is that my insurance company says that I need to get a new roof on the house. Now, I already had Mike come out, or Mike's people come out. They said they could do a complete layover. They could do a complete layover on the house and the separate garage. That's going to cost me about $30,000. That's okay. I'm not worried about that, because that might bring the value up of my home for resale, and I totally agree. Can my insurance company that I've had for 22 years, I've owned the house for 25 years, force me in, first of all, force me into a new roof? Or next thing is, if my sale doesn't go through, which is important, can they say, well, you didn't follow our orders, so we're going to cancel your insurance? Well, when you cancel your insurance on your insurance credit score, at the end of the day, Mike, or one of your other people, what would a guy like me at 65 get some good advice today? I'm going to listen now.
I love that, Tom. All right, Michael, break that down a little bit for us.
You know what, Tom? Insurance companies now are driving around using drones, maybe even Google Earth, the satellite imagery to inspect homes. And I don't know that an inspection on a drive-by or a drone is a good inspection in regards to a roof or even your home. But the insurance companies are driving around, and they are looking at roofs, and they are telling homeowners that, hey, your roof looks a little worse for wear, even if it is from the street. You know, we want you to get a new roof to continue coverage. And yes, they can, but
they can hold that over you, say, if you don't get a new roof, we're dropping you.
Correct. But you could ask for our expert inspection and their advice, and we could come out and write you a letter if your roof is in satisfactory, serviceable condition, make that statement, and I'll also give you an idea of how much more time, or give your insurance company how much more time your roof has serviceability life left in it.
And the insurance company will kind of listen to what you have to say?
They will kind of listen.
Okay.
I say that because there are some insurance companies now that, number one, they've started leaving the state of Illinois. They're no longer writing new business because of risk of this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they're not covering cedar shingle roofs or tile roofs or slate roofs. They're only covering asphalt shingle. And then they're also saying no to the old-style three-tab asphalt shingle.
Why?
It's just not as good of a product. That doesn't provide as good of protection to your home in regards to the three-tab versus the architectural, which is, of course, you drive around, you look at roofs, and 95% of all homes have an architectural shingle on them now. But also, in regards to the slate, tile, and wood, if we do get a hailstorm or a windstorm that tears off your roof or damages your roof, the insurance company's on the hook for many more thousands of dollars to replace that.
Okay.
And they just aren't covering it.
And are losing money in Illinois, according to them, in some ways. Which, you know, I think surprises some folks. Florida and California, people go, oh, the wildfires and the hurricanes. Oh, I bet they lose money there.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
losing money in Illinois and Iowa because of hailstorms.
Yep.
These really strong, it's not necessarily the tornadoes, it's the strong hail, it's these straight line wind events, which are increasing in strength and frequency in our area. And a lot of insurance companies claiming that they're losing money. They're trying to jack up the rates. The regulatory boards here in Illinois are not like they are in other states, and it's a whole mess. Tom mentioned that he had Lindholm Roof to recommend something. Was that a whole new roof he was talking about?
It sounded like he's looking at the possibility of doing a layover.
What does that mean?
Going over the single layer of roof that he may have on the house now.
Okay.
In the state of Illinois, other than the city of Chicago, you are required to tear off if you have two layers or more, but you are able to go over
a single
layer. But there are some municipalities, towns, cities that even don't allow that.
Right. But you'll go out to a house and help if you think the roof is in good shape, write a letter for someone to send to an insurance company?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Tom, maybe reach back on out to Lindholm. Have a good
day.
Yeah. Does that make sense, everything he said?
Can I say one more thing?
Quickly. Go yeah. Go ahead, bud.
There's a reason why Lou has certain people come, as in people that is in this industry, come onto this show.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an old man show. I'm 65 years old, okay?
Yeah.
And when I said LMI, I really truly believe that, okay? And what I'm getting to the bottom line is I don't think it's fair, but we have laws that we have to understand, and now Lindholm Roofing has to have their butts covered, too, on all their liability.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And I totally agree.
Yep.
I totally agree. And the reason why I called them today is that they have said a couple of times, you know, sir, we might have to crawl up on your roof. The insurance company, whatever, okay? If this is going to keep everybody happy, and like I said, in 2 years I'm going to have the house sold.
Yeah.
It looks like I got a contract. But
Tom, I got to scoot to commercial break. So what's your question?
Sure. I want to thank you.
Okay.
I want to thank all you people today, okay? And have a blessed day.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate that. And sorry to cut Tom off there a little bit, especially when he's trying to sing our praises. But we got to scoot along. Marty is hanging on the line. He's got a question about a hot water heater, which I'm looking at you, John, which we're going to chat about in just a minute. House Smarts Radio here. Again, if you've got questions, 312-981-7200. You just heard Michael Houston, Bob Bertog here, too, for all your landscaping needs. And John Betke, owner of Betke Plumbing. And Marty's question coming up in a bit. John Hansen here in for Lou Manfredini. And we got our great panel here, and I think John's going to get involved in this one. Marty, you're on WGN. Hello, Marty. How are you?
Doing great, guys. How about you?
You know, I don't want to speak for all four of us, but I think we're all doing great. Right, guys?
Yes.
Doing great.
All right. Very good. Go ahead, Marty.
Great. My call was about a water heater, but I didn't realize Lindholm was in there, too. And I just got to do a shout-out to them. I have two houses in Glenview. Roofs were 31 years old. One was cedar shake. It was time to go. Insurance again, of course. And every quote I got was just putting for sale signs up on the house. So I called Lindholm. You guys came in at a quarter of the price.
Wow.
And banged out both these houses in 2 days, and I couldn't thank you enough.
Wow.
But my question is, on a water heater in one of my homes, I have a 80-gallon water heater, and it seems it wants to heat intermittently, and I thought it was like a vacation mode, but I called the manufacturer because I leave the house for about a month or two at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called the manufacturer, and they said, nope, not that. So my question is, as a DIY, if I flush it, which has never been done, and it's 10 years old, is that going to help or is it going to hurt?
Or make no difference whatsoever. John?
Is this an electric or a gas?
It is a gas, and it's the old type. You know, it's not the with a fan on it. I intentionally replaced it 10 years ago, so I didn't have to go to the new mode.
Right, so it's atmospheric. So you could drain it. It's not going to hurt anything. It's not going to make anything worse. But a heater that's 10 years old, they call it morning sickness. So when it sets for 6, 8, 12 hours without use, the water stratifies, and the thermostat on the inside loses sensitivity. It's not till you take that first draw in the morning, and it basically wakes it up.
Hmm.
And in the industry, we call
it. So it's a lot like
sickness.
Us. It's a lot like me.
Exactly.
It takes a little bit of time to heat on up, to warm on up in the morning. Every year I get older, it gets a little bit harder. That's the same thing for a water heater.
First cup of coffee. Yep,
exactly. It's 10 years. I mean, is this about time to maybe start thinking about a new one at that point?
10 to 15 is the life expectancy for Lake Michigan water. So, yeah.
Are they better now than they were 10 years ago? Like more energy efficient?
Yeah. Quite a bit more energy efficient.
So that could be maybe a worthwhile investment.
That's an incentive, too.
Yeah. Do you guys help out with that sort of stuff?
We certainly do.
Betke Plumbing. Where can people reach you at? I don't think I've given the website yet.
Betke Plumbing. You can go to our website. You can even schedule on our website. It's BetkePlumbing.com, BAETHKE, plumbing.com.
Okay, very good stuff. And Marty, any other follow-up questions, bud?
No, so if I do it, is it a 50-50 shot?
Oh, the flushing.
Help,
yeah, sorry.
The flushing, is that's not going to take care of that. The flushing is going to help it stay more efficient. You're going to get some of that debris off the bottom so it's not heating through that debris. It might increase the life minimally, but it's not going to help the problem you're having.
I've heard Lou say that if you flush, that's great, but do it throughout the entire life of the water heater. If you haven't done it in 10 years, at this point, it's maybe diminishing returns on a flushing.
Some of that debris might have solidified over 10 years, so you might be able to flush less out, but it's not going to hurt anything.
312-981-7200. Marty, thanks for the phone call, bud. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, that's Marty calling. Got a text line question. Rose of Sharon, Bob Bertog. Safe to prune and cut those things down pretty far?
Absolutely. This is the time to do it.
Really? Rose of Sharon, they're kind of like a, I don't want to call them a weed, but they grow like weeds, it feels like.
They do, but they're beautiful and when they flower, and they're late season flower, you know, so they're around most of the summer.
Do you have to follow kind of that one-third of the canopy trim, or can they take a chop down pretty far?
Well, I would never do more than a third, but they're pretty resilient. They'll take a pretty good beating.
Yeah, I was telling you earlier this week about my rhododendron.
Yes.
Which I cut down more than a third, I will say. I think I saw some YouTube video where they're like, cut it all the way down. And I think I got lucky because I did that, and it's looking great, I will say.
You got lucky because rhododendron are very sensitive.
Okay, well, so am I. So maybe they feel me there. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WGN. Good morning, sir.
Morning.
What's your question?
Well, I've got a shower.
Good. Good first start.
Yeah, it works. The problem is it howls.
It howls? Like at the moon?
Just in time for Halloween.
Yeah. Jim, can you replicate the sound for us just with your mouth here?
No, I can't.
Is it like a whistling howl?
Yeah, you could call it a whistling howl, and it sort of comes and goes during the course of the shower. It'll we're on well, so I have a pressure tank. So when I know what's happening, it's pumping up, and it'll have more pressure. It'll make no noise at all, and then it falls off just a little bit, not much, and I call it howling.
But yeah.
Jim, I can tell you exactly what that is. So when you lift that diverter on the spout, that howling, that whistling, is the small amount of water that's still coming out of the spout.
In the bathtub.
In the bathtub. So the reason you're getting the variation is with different pressures, it holds it closed better or it holds it closed not as well.
Uh-huh.
So that's why you get the variation in sound. So the solution for that is either getting a new tub spout with a better diverter, one that maybe shuts off like a ball valve, or getting used to the whistling howl.
Or, yeah, if you like the howl, Jim, maybe it's a little musical for you, then there you go.
More irritating than musical.
All right, that makes sense to you, though, Jim?
Well, no, but okay. If you say that's what it is,
what
it is.
It's the diverter. It's the thing. You have a bathtub, right, in the shower?
Yep.
It's that thing you pull up, the little thing that you pull up on the bathtub. It's not quite doing it all the way. Is that the technical term?
Yeah, it's not doing it all the way.
The thing.
That's what's making the shower.
That's making the noise. And it's a very common problem, Jim. We see that.
Really?
Literally, we see that every day in our business. And most people, once they find out what it is, they just say, I can live with it.
Never mind, right, because it's not a symptomatic of something greater.
Right. But we've gone as far as they make spouts that turn off more like a ball valve, so it's 100% shut off. You don't have any water leaking by, and that'll solve it.
Right. Does it whistle a specific tune, or is it just straight on like a train? I'm just kidding, Jim. Thanks for playing, okay?
You bet.
That's great.
Thank you.
They covered all this in Harry Potter and the Howling Whistling Shower. I don't know if you've read that book, but
twice.
Yeah, that's one of the ones that didn't make it into the movies. But it's
I wonder why not.
Yeah, it's all about plumbing. It wasn't one of the bigger hits of the series. 312-981-7200. While we got a moment here before we take this break, and then we're gonna have news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Really quick, let's go around the horn. How people can reach you in case they're getting out of their cars, they're done for the day. Lindholm Roofing. What's the best place to go for all that?
All right, so reach us at 773 283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com.
John, how about Betkey?
Our phone number is 773-276-5430 or betkeyplumbing.com.
All right, Mr. Bertog.
Best way to reach us is bertoglandscape.com, B-E-R-T-O-G, or 847-279-0028.
All right, we got three more hours of this, so people, call on in. Great questions so far in the 6 o'clock hour. We're ready for yours in the 7 o'clock hour. 312-981-7200 after this break. Hey, everyone, happy Saturday morning. John Hansen in for Lou Manfredini. Michael Houston, Bob Bertog, John Betkey here with all your roofing, landscaping, plumbing needs in that order, and we'll fill in the cracks in between with caulk or whatever we need. 312-981-7200. Get on the phone lines, get the questions. You can text them in, too. We got a text question from the 708. This one is going to be for you, John, I believe, although everyone's welcome to answer. 708, hi, for ages I've always listened and loved Lou's show. Well, thank you very much, 708. They ask, for the last months of winter, there was water coming out from inlet and outlet of my hot water boiler. But since a month, it stopped. So maybe a month ago, they mean, or maybe after a month it stopped. Should I be concerned? I mean, the water's not dripping anymore, John. Should that person still be concerned?
If she's talking about the boiler that heats the home, she should be very concerned, because it might have stopped because the PRV, the pressure reducing valve, might have seized up. And now you're not going to have any water in your boiler. So when we need the heat now, you're not going to have it. So I would definitely get that looked at.
So it was messed up in the winter, but it went through. It stopped doing the thing that was wrong, not meaning that the symptom is gone or that the problem is gone, but since the boiler hasn't been used, it just hasn't resurfaced the problem.
It hasn't resurfaced, and it might have actually gotten worse. So
is that something that they can call you and you guys come out and take a look at, or how does that work?
We actually don't do heating.
Okay.
But any heating professional should be able to handle that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't even, when I hear water boiler, I assume plumbing. I don't know anything.
And some people call their water heater a water boiler. If she's talking about her water heater, it's equally as bad, and it shouldn't have fixed itself. But if the relief valve was what was leaking, you should still have that looked at, because that's a primary safety device. That's what keeps your home safe.
312-981-7200. Call line open, text line filling up with questions, but we'd love to hear your voices. 312-981-7200. Bob Bertog, question from the 630. Any advice on slugs? Is it easy? I hear it's easy to get rid of slugs.
Well, this time of year, they're really not that much of an issue. But, yeah, you can put the product down. Diatomaceous earth is actually one of the things in the slugs.
Did you just make that up? What was that?
Diatomaceous earth.
Yeah, that's in my pool filter.
Yeah. It is, exactly. Oh, really? But what it is, it's a very abrasive. So you put it at the base of the plants, and the slugs go, and then it attaches to their body, and they don't like it. So it's just an irritant more than anything.
That's a dumb John Hansen question. What does a slug look like? I hear about them all the time. I don't think I have them. Is it one of those things you'd know them if you had them?
It looks like a snail without a shell.
Snail without a shell. Okay, gross.
Yes.
And I'd see it if I were digging around in my perennials. Yep. Or okay.
You've seen them.
Okay. And if you're a fisherman, you're going to love them because they're great bait.
Oh, really?
Yep.
They're small.
Do you go out and collect them and bring them to a bait shop, Bob?
I do not.
Okay. That would be a great business. Slug collectors?
For somebody, maybe. Not me.
You'd have to collect thousands of them to make a living.
Well, you know, I'm doing it for the fishermen, Michael. I'm not trying to make a profit here. You know, I'm just trying to do it. Slugs and fish. I've done leeches in the boat.
Ooh.
What movie is that? Is it Great Outdoors with John Candy and Dan Aykroyd, where the kids fall asleep? They all fall asleep in the boat because they've been out all day, and the leeches got out of the thing, and they were all over their bodies. No one's ever seen this movie?
That's The Great Outdoors.
That's
right.
Great Outdoors. Yeah. That's a good one. I never liked fishing with leeches. Minnows I can do. Worms were fine. No problem. Worms have no eyes. So the minnows was always a little rough because they're looking right at you when you're putting that hook on through. And I was actually with some friends that we were up in Wisconsin, and about a five-year-old goes, well, what, you caught a fish. I'm like, no, that's a minnow. They're like, well, what did you do with that minnow? I'm like, well, the minnow's going to catch a bigger fish. And they go, well, then do you let the minnow go? And I was like, yeah, then we let the minnow go. That's what we're just going to go with here. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Carol in Indiana. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Great.
I have a problem with a skunk.
Mm.
It is, yeah, it's all over my mulch. And not in my yard, so it's not taking up my yard, but just my mulch overnight.
Mm.
And I've tried to deter it and don't know what to do.
Right. Have you put up a sign that says no skunks, please? Have you tried that?
Yeah, really. We've tried that too, but okay. It doesn't work.
Skunks, Bob. I actually have a skunk too in my yard. I can't seem to get rid of. Any thoughts on that?
Well, my original thought is, why are they there? They're probably looking for, more than likely, grubs, which are very prominent right now.
And those are different than slugs?
Yes.
What does a grub look like? Explain that to me.
A grub looks very similar, actually, okay. but it's white. It's like C-shaped, but it's feeding typically in the root zone of turf. So she said it's in the mulch, which is unusual. As far as deterring skunks, there's got to be repellents on the market. I don't know a brand name per se.
Right,
but
right.
You can, but again, skunks smell too, so I don't know. There's a lot of things to keep rabbits away, deer away.
There's got to be a skunk repellent out there.
There's got to be, but they seem to be, they're tough.
They already smell bad. They don't care.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't care. And they're like raccoons, too. It's hard to deter a raccoon. If they want your garbage, they're going to find it.
Janelle Iacino from Rose Pest Solutions might have some sort of guess there, right?
I don't know. Michael? It's not really an insect.
It's not an insect. It is a pest, though, sort of, but not really. I don't know. Carol, tell you what. Stay on the line. I can guarantee the WGN listeners are about to text a million suggestions, okay?
I would appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Keep on listening. And I'm invested in this, too, because we got a skunk in the yard. In fact, I saw it during the daytime, which is, you ever seen a skunk in the daytime?
That's unusual.
It's a frightening thing. I was power washing the deck, and it came out. It must have been in,
under the deck.
It must have been under the deck. Right. And then it ran under the shed, which I didn't even know there was a hole in a way under the shed. So, texters, callers, let us know. And they're immediately 6-year-old. This says there is a product for skunks. Little man, I'll look it up later and make sure that it's legitimate. Okay, Carol, keep on listening. We'll try and help you out. We got to hit a break here on House Smarts Radio. More after this in just a bit. John Hansen here in for Lou Manfredini, getting a lot of skunk and now raccoon thoughts on the text line, as the WGN listeners always do. I once asked how to get rid of squirrels from eating the bird feeders, and I think we did about a 2-hour segment on that, Bob Bertog, because everyone has an idea. By the way, none of them worked, and I tried every single WGN radio. I was out there with Crisco oil on the bird feeder, like the shepherd's hook that the bird feeder was on. I was out there every day, like, spraying, like, Pam olive oil on it. And it would work for, like, 10 minutes. And it was funny watching the squirrels try and go up it and whoop, 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 not being able to do it. But eventually
How was that?
And then they turn around and laugh at you.
Then they turn around and laugh, and then they come back 5 minutes later when it dries, and they can get right back up again. Someone said, I had a problem, a family of raccoons tearing up my yard, treated the yard for grubs once, haven't been back in 4 years. So you're saying that they're looking for something, whether it's the skunks, the raccoon, they know something's underneath that mulch.
Right, and they'll come back the following season because the pheromones are still, the scent is still there. We, you know, as humans, we can't smell it, but the raccoons, the skunks, they said, hey, they've been here before. I'm going to go see if they're back again this year.
Oh, so they know that. They smell where they were before, and they go, oh, I must have been here for some reason.
Yes.
Let's start digging through.
Same thing in roofing, actually. Skunks, raccoons, not skunks, raccoons and squirrels get into your attic. They leave a scent. Even if you get them out, even if you close up the attic, they can come back and they can smell that pheromone, that scent.
Where do they get in from? Do they just dig in through the roof?
They dig in. You know, you sit up on a roof long enough with your claws and you'll get in.
You try it. You tested this
twice.
Theory out. Yeah. You're like, you know, I'm going to get some claws and see how they do.
Takes a couple hours.
And they can get on through. Is that something? Now, something like that, obviously, you're not redoing the whole roof, most likely. Can you guys do a quick little patch for that little specific area?
We do all the time, and we typically would put a little piece of aluminum over the same area just in case they try to get in again, and it may deter them. But they can always move to the left or right 2-3 feet and find their way in, too.
Right. Do you find your way back to roofs that you've done before through the pheromones that you've left all over, Mike?
All the time.
Yes. All the time. You know you're driving around the area. You're like, no, I know I've been here before.
I guess I could mark my territory.
312-981-7200. Help us save us from ourselves. I will say, when I called you guys for my sunroof that was leaking, I think there's such a fear about calling the roofing guy because immediately my thought was $20,000, $30,000. They're going to have to do everything. Just because the sun is leaving, they're going to find this, that, and the other thing. The whole roof is going to be gone, which could be the case. But
it could be.
But very often, I imagine, you find very specific areas or problems, are able to fix those specific areas or problems for a cost that is not going to be exorbitant.
That is correct. We do that all the time. We go out and we do repairs that range from $175 to, you know, depending on the roof, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. But We do repairs, we do full replacements, and anything in between.
I also think, oh, I'm going to be living with a crew here for weeks at a time. How long does a roof take, the average roof?
Day.
Right.
Sometimes two, sometimes.
And you guys, I mean, that's impressive. When I watched Marco, he was the guy that came for me. I mean, we just had a small part, right? But it was done in hours, and I was just amazed because they had to replace some of the wood underneath, because obviously that's where the leak had gotten through, and they opened up, they ripped it up, and they saw, well, here's your problem. And I thought, oh, they're gonna be gone for a while getting all the wood, they're gonna have to bring the tools, maybe someone else is gonna come out. Nope. It was all done there. It was like this efficient machine of an operation with Lindholm that they did everything right there, boom, bang, bun, they had it all done. It was amazing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's what we do. We try to come prepared. We try to do it as efficiently as possible and economically as possible as well.
A lot of people texted in about Critter Ritter, and they say that Lou always says Critter Ritter water spray. So if Lou says it, that's what I'm going to go with. Critter Ritter spray. Okay. Someone says, regarding squirrels crawling up your shepherd's hook, I use a slinky and it works great.
That would be funny.
Didn't work for me. 312-981-7200. Someone sent in a picture. Any of you guys know anything about repairing a floor? I know we got Mr. Floor we can always recommend, but someone sent in a picture of their hardwood floor, and it looks like straight down the middle of it, there's a discolored, almost looks like someone scratched it. And it's just kind of worn away the grain and the, I don't know. I imagine Mr. Floor's company might be able to help out with that. Something along those lines.
I would think so.
Igor wouldn't be able to work through that. I'll text
you. Is it a gap?
Yeah, here, I'll take a look at this picture. It's kind of like a little, like a gash in the floor. I don't know how else to say that.
It's almost like if it wasn't, the picture shows that it might not have been refinished as well as it could have been.
Right, maybe that's it.
Also, if there's a gap, it could mean that the home is dry. They need to turn up their humidifier.
Oh, really? That can...
It'll close the wood a little bit. It'll close out
those
gaps.
You're not alone, John. That happens?
It happens all the time, yeah. If you don't have proper humidification, even your furniture, you're sitting at the dining room table.
It'll creak.
It'll creak. It'll start... It ruins everything wood in your home.
Because of the humidity in the home?
Because of the lack of
humidity. Or lack of humidity.
Yeah.
What's an ideal percentage of humidity I should be seeing in my home?
35%.
For most... And obviously in the winter, that dries up pretty... Easily in the summer, it goes way higher than that.
In the summer, you're doing the opposite. You're trying to get it down to 35, and you're probably going to sit closer to 45 in the summer.
Should we be making sure that whatever HVAC system we have has humidifying capabilities or dehumidifying?
Right. Most do.
Most do.
I bet I'm like most homeowners, though. I don't even think of that. I look at the temperature. Like, we have the kid, so David's room I made sure has, I bought a humidifier for it, because with a little baby, you want a little bit more humidity. So a book told me once, and so I did it. But like for the whole house, I would have no idea what the humidity is in my house. That's something we should be checking, huh?
I think if there's a lot of static electricity, your humidity is low. I think in the wintertime, especially if your upstairs windows are condensating, then your humidity is too high.
Okay, so there's little telltale signs of that, but it can impact everything, even down to the wood. Okay, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We want you to join the conversation, House Smarts Radio. We got our experts, John Hansen in for Lou Manfredini. We'll continue this show after the news with Don Kleppen here on WGN.
Light up your barbecue or campfire with this weekend's new Tolu 2. The Click 2 Cook dual nozzle barbecue lighter and blowers, refillable butane powered flame instantly lights barbecue lump or wood charcoal, while the high output battery powered blower enhances the combustion process. Whether you're firing up lump charcoal, starting a bonfire, roasting peppers, sous vide browning, melting cheese, or caramelizing sugar, this multifunctional lighter delivers performance and versatility. It's lightweight, it's easy to handle, and it's loved by, let's say, barbecuers, campers, culinary creators, when lighting their campfires, wood fireplaces, smokers, fire pits, and bonfires. The Click to Cook barbecue lighter and blower goes for $69.99, so go ahead.
For more information, check out the House Smarts YouTube channel. And be sure to like and subscribe.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. That's our new Tolu 2. Oh, that sounds good. The Click 2 dual BBQ lighter and blower. And again, as you just heard them say, visit the House Smarts YouTube channel for more information. $69.99. All right, 7:39 here on WGN. John Hansen in for Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. And get on the phone line, 312-981-7200. We've gotten a billion texts about the skunk problem. I told you guys that would happen. I mean, people have their own homemade solutions on what to do with skunks or skunk families.
Irish Spring soap and a cheese grater. Just sprinkle it on there and see what happens.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Why not?
It gets
can't
rid
be good
of mice.
For the mulch, can it, Bob? I don't know.
It's going to disintegrate eventually, yep.
I like that. 708, by the way, they were wondering, Lindholm Roofing, you guys go to the south suburbs, right? They were concerned for, maybe they heard some information that you didn't, but you guys go to the south, like Orland Park, Tinley Park,
oh,
that
yeah,
area.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so they can call you guys up, and you go pretty much everywhere in the Chicagoland area, right?
Give us a call, 773-283-7675.
I love that. 740 on WGN. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. By the way, leveling up your home, we are live from the PermaSeal Concrete Repairs Studio. And on the phone lines, we'll want you to join us, 312-981-7200. All right, let's prepare our landscaping for fall, Mr. Bertog. The water is the big question now, the story. Where do you land on cleaning up the perennials and, like, trimming out, like, the sedum? The sedum I actually like the fall color that they have when they dry on out. The allium, I kind of like leaving it. It has some structural interest to it. But some of the other stuff, some people say leave it. You got to keep room for the insects to grow. Some people like to trim it just to clean it on up. Is it just a personal preference thing?
Personal preference. You do want to let some of the stuff die back, though, because the plant is actually feeding itself. The carbohydrates go back into the root zone. But like hosta, they start looking sloppy.
Yeah.
Cut those back.
So the hostas are fine. They've already absorbed what you think they need for the winter.
Yeah, you can chop those back. A lot of people leave the ornamental grasses up for winter interest. Personally, I cut mine back because after the first snowfall, they topple over, and to me, they don't look as nice. So hydrangea, same thing. I cut mine back. Some people like the winter interest. They leave them up for the winter. A lot of it's personal preference. So if you want to leave a home for the insects and the rodents that are going to eventually get into your roof and then in your attic, and you can do that too. But it's a lot of personal preference more than anything.
Dude, what about like the leaves that fall? A lot of people suggest, hey, why don't you bring some of those leaves instead of putting them in the yard waste bin? Provide a bed maybe for your garden for some insulation and warmth, move them into the garden. I know you're going to have to clean them out then when the spring comes, or maybe you leave them to break down and become essentially a compost for your yard or for your garden beds.
Definitely you can use them in the garden beds. I don't recommend leaving it on your turf. That's one of the worst things you can do for the turf because it's just going to create mold. But you can put all your leaf, it'll compost over the winter, and it will protect and keep the temperature more constant for the perennials, and they won't a deep hard freeze. They won't be as it won't harm them as much.
And can you just put like compost or mulch on top of those leaves come spring, or are you really going to want to clear those leaves out so that you're not creating just like layer after layer after layer and not really creating a compost underneath?
You're 100% correct. You don't want to create the layers because that's going to harm the plants. The more snow we get, the more it's going to break down the leaves. So it's going to be one of those game time decisions in the spring of whether or not you need to clear it out.
Okay. 630 wants to know, when are the best times to clean out the gutters? Is it a set two times a year, spring and fall? Is that the best way to do it?
I would say yes to that question. Two times a year, depending on, of course, how many trees you have around your home and what type of leaves are on them. The other option is gutter guards.
Right.
Which we can supply and install. But yeah, you got to clean your gutters out usually twice a year. Certainly in the fall, after most, if not all, of the leaves have fallen, early November, depending on what kind of trees and leaf falls you have.
Yeah, the gutter guards things is always interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people use them and love them. They do get expensive, though, sometimes.
Better stuff is more, yes.
Better stuff is more, as you've been. You can also pay someone to clean out the gutters twice a year. I mean, that may not be as effective, especially if you have a ton of trees and they're always clogging it up. So that's got to be like another personal choice based on the yard and what you've got, right?
And how big the house is and how much it costs to have your gutters cleaned. If it's only like $50, $60, $70 twice a year, it's a whole lot less than gutter guards that are decent.
I probably shouldn't be just hiring some kid down the street to clean out the gutters. That's not good for insurance purposes, right?
Probably not. You don't want that kid to own your home when he falls.
Yeah. Make sure they're insured. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys do gutter cleaning?
We do gutter cleaning. We do gutters. We do gutter Leaf Guard installs, yes.
Would you guys also look and see if my downspouts and where I'm sending are working properly and are far enough away from the foundation to be effective?
We would do that. Obviously, we would do that when we're there.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah, because we were lucky the house we bought, three of the corners, the downspout goes into the ground. There's a great pipe that sends it out into the yard a little bit.
Like a French drain.
Yes. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me sound so fancy. I've got three French drains. How about that? And some into the garden beds. It all works. But I got one corner where the downspout just keeps on breaking off, and it just kind of like goes 2 feet away. And I have one of those like little things. You see what I'm making here. Like the water guide.
Diverter.
What's that?
A ground diverter.
A ground diverter. And I don't like the way it looks. How hard is it to dig down and send this the other corner of the house somewhere else?
Landscapers.
That's where you call me.
That's where you're coming.
Yep.
So they do that. You will make sure the downspouts are all connected to where they need to be, but you dig underground and fix
that.
And
we put in the French drain 10 feet away from the house.
The fancy French drain?
Yep.
10 feet, that's the standard, that's the best way to do it out of the foundation?
If you can get further away, the better, but you definitely want at least 10 feet away from the foundation.
708, my new grass sod installed in May looks dead now. I fertilized it twice. It just treated it for bugs and grubs. My yard is a 50-50 sunshade mix. If that grass sod that was installed looks not so good now, although a lot of yards don't, is that trouble for new sod?
I'm going to guess you didn't water it enough because we were way under for water for the season. And if it's brown now, that means it's dormant and it barely rooted. If it was put in May, it knitted, but it didn't go deep enough where you have 2 or 3 inch roots. So it probably didn't get watered enough.
Is this something just wait for the spring and see if it comes back? And if it doesn't, then you got to redo it or do it
now? I'd water the heck out of it now and try and revive it.
Okay, so that could maybe still be salvaged.
Yes.
All right, so water, water, water for the next couple of weeks while you can, and then you make sure that you disconnect the hose and drain it out, right, John?
100%. Be safe.
We got to be able to do that. Is cut grass good for your garden? Like for maybe using the clippings instead of putting it in the yard waste, maybe sprinkle it underneath in the gardens for a little bit more for juice?
No.
No?
Not recommended. The leaf compost is fine, but grass, because of the fact that you're fertilizing it throughout the season, it has a high nitrogen content. And sometimes if you put that in your garden, you're going to put too much nitrogen in the soil. And if it's vegetables or other perennials, they might not like that much nitrogen.
Okay. 312-981-7200. Phone lines open. Text keep on streaming in. Love to hear your voice here on How Smart's Radio. John Hanson in for Lou Manfredini. We'll continue our guests. Maybe you're getting your house ready for the fall and the winter, and you've got questions about what's going on inside or outside. Well, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. John Hanson in for Lou Manfredini. Michael Houston from Lindholm Roofing. Bob Bertog from Bertog Landscaping. John Betke from Betke Plumbing, all here to help us out. 708 wants to know, how do I rot out a French drain? So I don't know who wants to tackle it. Bob, you want to start? Or Lindholm? Or plumbing? This kind of is all three. This is kind of all
so
three.
So typically French drains are PVC, correct?
Well, yes. That's what I was going
to Can you get closer
add.
To the mic, Bob?
I was going to add, you got to be careful what the material is. If it's the corrugated, you don't want to rot it.
You'll
out.
Ruin
that's like
it.
The black plastic you
will,
one.
With the ribs in it, you will destroy it. So if it's solid PVC, you can rot it out. If you got the corrugated, you can use high pressure water, hydrojet it out, and it'll blow it clean.
Well, where do you put the water in? Through the gutter, or do you like find where the spout comes out disconnected and do that?
Typically there's an air gap between the where the gutter goes into the where the drain is that's going to take it to the French drain.
Okay.
Most villages have a code that it has to have an air gap just for that reason. So if it backs up, it's not going to come up through the gutter up to the roof especially in the wintertime. If you have a rain and then it freezes, it's going to go up to the roof, and then if you don't have ice shield underneath your shingles,
no good.
It's no good. So the air gap will prevent all of that, but that's where you would do the rotting from.
Okay.
There.
Wow, I think that was the one issue that all three of you get to touch. It could affect the roof. It could affect the landscaping. Affect the movement of the water through it.
Absolutely.
We did it, guys. Nice work. Hope that answered the question. We got a lot of calls now coming in. Lori is in Streamwood. Lori, you got a question, I think, for Mr. Bertog.
I do. My landscaper can't do my aeration until mid-November. Would it be too late to overseed at that point?
Okay. Good question.
It's a good question. It is. You're going to miss the window for the prime core aeration, which is right now, where the roots are the most active in your turf right now. They're and the aeration makes extra room for the roots and stuff. But if you're going to overseed mid-November, I would say I would wait until after Thanksgiving and do what's called a dormant seeding, because you can always run into Indian summer in November, and if those seeds germinate and then you get a hard freeze, you're just wasted time and money.
So it's too warm, and then the seed goes, oh, I'm gonna burst out here and be a grass.
Yeah, but if you wait until after Thanksgiving, and then you can dormant overseed where the ground, the seeds won't germinate if the ground is under 50 degrees. So you're pretty safe, and then you have the benefit of the early spring rains, and then the seed will germinate, and you get a jump start on it in the spring.
So, Lori, maybe talk to them about maybe even pushing it back a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Lori, for calling. This is from the 847. After using hot water faucet in the kitchen, there's a knocking noise for a little while. Not a howling. We had the howling noise earlier. This is a knocking noise. I'm making this noise with the effect there with my pen. Now, they said, I'm told it's not an issue, but I worry that a house inspector may call me on this when I put my condo up for sale. It's only in the kitchen, not all the time, but I don't want to start opening up any walls. Mr. Betke, what do you think?
It's expansion and contraction. So it could be either the hot water line as it's changing temperature, or even the drain line can expand and contract. So it's not hurting anything, and the only way to fix it is opening your walls. So it's really a non-issue. If an inspector called you out on it, you can get another professional to share that it's really not a concern.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to like ruin you at closing, especially if someone says, no, it's just a normal thing.
Absolutely.
You know, he's put like a seller's like $100 on it or something if they want for their own plumber to come out and take a look at it, right? I mean, those are things you can negotiate if an inspector throws a wrench in a deal.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not a concern.
Look at me talking over my skis about it. I got to get Dave Schluter on the line to make sure what I just said was correct. I don't really know. 312-91-7200. Can strawberry plants be moved this time of year, Mr. Bertog?
You can move those anytime. They're like hosta. You can't kill them.
You can't kill them. That's what I love about hostas.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I've always wanted to start a dump. Maybe you can help me out here, Bob. I love hostas and the variations so much. I don't like the run-of-the-mill ones. I like trying to find like really unique ones. But some places, they are expensive. Like to find a good hosta that is like a cool variety. We should have a WGN Radio Hosta Club where we could trade, you know, because they're so easy to split.
Absolutely.
So, like, I've got some really cool variations. I bet some listener has some cool variation that they would want to give me, and I could give them one of mine. We each split them, and we trade. Doesn't that sound like fun?
Radio Tradio.
These are things I never thought I'd say 20 years ago.
You could
I'm going to start
president.
A hosta club.
You could be the president.
President of the hosta club?
Yeah.
I would love it. So send me your pictures of your hostas, people, on the text line, and I'll try and offer you some trades, and maybe we can get things going. 312-981-7200. 708 says, by the way, thank you for the tip on the French drain. Okay, let's go to the phone lines here in a moment. I'll let Iridian take a couple calls, get the names on there. We've got Steve. Steve, you're on WGN. What's your question?
How you doing, John?
Great.
I have knocking in my pipes, and I have copper pipes for my plumbing and that. And I think I thought I had air in my lines. I put a suppressor in by my hot water heater and did that. And now I think, could a bad water softener make your pipes
bang?
And I mean, it's terrible.
It's loud. Okay.
It only does it when the hot, when the water softener is filling, because it goes like, oh, it's just crazy.
Could it be the water softener, John?
It could be. And if you have any check valves in any of the lines, it could be the chattering of the check valve.
Is that something you can come out and like try and replicate and see it happen? Should he take a video of it maybe or something that he could send along with the
audio
there too?
Yeah, yeah. If it can be replicated, that makes it easy to diagnose.
How can people reach you, by the way?
You just give us a call at 773-276-5430, or you can even book appointments at BetkePlumbing.com.
That's BAETHKE plumbing.com. Steve, I had to hurry that one along because we are up against the news break. More with this, House Smarts Radio and our wonderful panel after the break, and news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN. Iridian Fierro, doing great as always, producing. She'll stick around for Hochberg too, so you get to chat with Iridian today if you call in to either of those shows. And then for Let's Get Legal. So Iridian and I are, we got a long day here today. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Leveling up your home, we're live from the PermaSeal Concrete Repair Studios. And let's go to the phone lines. Debbie in Woodridge, and then Marilyn will be next. But Debbie, I'm going to you because Woodridge is right next to Downers Grove. So shout out to the Western suburbs. How are you doing, Debbie?
I'm good.
What's your question?
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Well, I've had some woodpecker damage at the very top of my chimney in two different spots. Luckily, it wasn't able to get through, and I had it repaired. But I want to know how to keep the woodpeckers away from the cedar siding, and when are they most active?
Cedar siding around the house and the chimney, and what do you think, yes. Mike? Oh, let me turn on your microphone. Sorry, there you go, bud.
I would say if it's at all possible, have someone go up there and hang some, you know, shining objects, tin foil, strips of tin foil or tape or even CDs.
I've seen that.
I've seen that as well.
Does it work?
It does because they don't like that reflective, shiny, sporadic annoyance.
Right. But neither do I like that on my house. So you kind of have to live with it too. Yeah.
Cayenne pepper is another option, but you'd have to get it up there. And I don't know how you do that, but that's an option as well.
So maybe someone is able to get on up there and hang some. Debbie, I don't know, you got CDs or it's like strips of aluminum foil or something.
Shiny tape.
Shiny tape or something is the way to do it. Is there a season when they're more active, Mike? Or they kind of all year?
I don't know that.
You're not an AV.
I'm not
what are they called? Aviator. Someone help me here. No,
not aviator.
They're not aviator. What's a bird person called? A bird expert. I know it. Let's just sit here for 5 minutes while I think of it.
Let's call it.
This is good radio. Yeah, Debbie. So we don't have that exact answer for you, but they like the cedar, right, Mike?
They like wood. Yeah, they like to dig in and peck away.
Could it mean that there's bugs down there? Or there's something hollow in there?
Could mean there's bugs or they're trying to find a spot to nest. The best thing to do is, you know, fill the holes that they do make with wood putty and paint it to try to deter them.
Yeah. Not great answers, Debbie. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I've got to keep searching.
Yep. So. Keep on searching. Yep, for sure. Sorry to cut you off there, Debbie. Yeah, the woodpeckers are a problem. The church across the way from me has like a wooden awning they built for the guests that, you know, in the rain, they can get dropped off right there. Hole in there, they fill it, woodpeckers back again. Filling the hole, doing it. It's like the cartoon. It's like Woody.
Woody the woodpecker.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's go to Marilyn now. Marilyn, thank you for holding. How are you this morning?
It's fine, thank you.
What's your question?
My question is, in 2024, I had a new maple tree put on my front lawn. And in 2025, in the spring, it blossomed and it was fine.
Okay.
And then about a month ago, it started drooping, looking nasty.
Okay.
So I had an irrigation guy out here, and I said, you know, look at this tree. And he said, I don't think it's a water problem. Look, there's like little spots on the tree, something. So then I called, and I had an arborist come out, and he said, it's not a water problem. The problem is
the phone line dropped. I'm sorry, Marilyn, and maybe you can call back. But if an arborist is telling you something, you go with what the arborist says, right, Bob?
With the arborist. What she was describing sounded like a water issue to me. But
that's what at first I thought.
I'm going to trust an arborist to say if it wasn't that. I think what she was talking about possibly was some spots on the trunk, mm-hmm. which could be lichen, which is like
moss.
Like moss on the north side of a tree. I think that's maybe where she was going.
Marilyn, were you talking about spots?
No.
Marilyn's saying no. Go give it to us, Marilyn.
Okay, it's on the leaves. The leaves looked like that. So the arborist came out and said that the mulch was too high around the tree, and the dirt was too high around the trunk of the tree.
I've heard of that. I know a lot of people love piling the mulch up.
No.
You're not supposed to do that.
It's called a volcano, and it's the worst thing you can do. You don't want to cover any higher than the root flare, if you see kids today at school projects, they say draw a tree, and they draw it, and it almost looks like a telephone pole, where when we were kids, you'd see that rip flare at the bottom. Yeah, you want that flare to be present. If you cover the flare, you're going to cause it to get moldy, and then carpenter ants. And
so that sounds like the arborist knows exactly what they're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah, so Marilyn, don't...
The guy who actually planted the tree, I had him then come out, and he
No, no.
Well, you're breaking up, Marilyn. I'm sorry. I would go with the arborist,
yes,
personally. And that is a record for the most number of people called out for a maple tree, for one. But, I mean, I like the different opinions. I think Marilyn's good to search out opinions.
Yes.
But I think we start and end with what the arborist says.
Agreed.
Okay. I'm glad you agree with that because I have no idea what I'm talking about. That really helped me on out. 312-981-7200. We'll continue with House Smarts Radio. Get on the phone line, 312-981-7200. Before the break, though, I want to remind you folks that a few weeks ago, Daryl Bernard from Genesis Plus HOCL joined House Smarts Radio to discuss how to stay healthy this fall and winter. And I chatted with Daryl, it was either when I was filling in for John or Lisa recently. Anyways, it's fascinating. The key to reduce the presence of viruses, bacteria, and mold that are in the air and on our surfaces, the most effective and safest way to disinfect your home is to order an atomizer. Like an atomizer from Genesis Plus HOCL. This very small, sleek, powerful machine, it creates a dry mist that eliminates over 99% of germs and allergens. It'll reduce illnesses for you and your family. You just set it and you forget it. There is nothing more natural or more effective than HOCL. So what is it? That was my first question. And then Daryl explained, it stands for hypochlorous. I hope I'm saying that right. It's actually found in the human body as well. It's part of our natural immune system. But when you dispense it in the air, it instantly rids your air and surfaces of allergens, bacteria, viruses, mold. For more information, check out the WGNCleanAir.com. WGNCleanAir.com. You're going to get $50 off an atomizer. Use promo code WGN at checkout. Visit WGNCleanAir.com. 312-981-7200. More of your questions for our panel and me. John Hansen, in for Lou Manfredini on House Smarts Radio. All right, folks, Cat Stevens expert and also plumbing expert, John Betke here, Bob Bertog from Bertog Landscaping, and Michael Houston, formerly, from Lindholm Roofing. Let's go to Doug. You're on WGN. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
I think we're doing great. How about you?
Life is.
Okie dokie.
So I want to confirm, I made a mistake gardening this year, and I know I did, but I want to confirm, the garden center confirmed it. I went to, it's the Squazy, they're pretty, I like them, went to them for the first time since they moved out of Barrington, and decided I'd give them a try.
Okay.
Again, and so bought tomato plants. And I had been there earlier in the year, and they showed me this mulch from New England that's made out of crab shells and lobster shells.
Oh, my goodness. Imported fancy mulch. Okay.
Sounds expensive.
Absolute. Absolute. So anyway, so I thought, wow, this would be really great for my tomatoes. This will really make the tomatoes grow great. So I bought a bag and took it home, planted the tomatoes, filled the hole with dug for the plants with some of this mulch, some tomato tone, and root and grow, and that's about it.
Okay.
Put it in, then I decided to spread the rest of the mulch on top of the garden. Thought, hey, I'll plant some of my wife's bean seeds for pole beans. Okay, great. Everything came up. The plants grew like crazy. I mean, like three times as fast as I thought they would.
And lobster tails came
out
of the ground,
flowers,
too.
Never got flowers. Never got tomatoes.
Oh, interesting.
Same thing with the beans. No fruit. I don't know if I had too Pasquazi said that I sounded like I put way too much nitrogen into it.
Maybe.
With this, because it's a super high nitrogen mulch. So
you're curious if maybe that might be the case?
Yes.
You ever hear of something like that, Bob Bertog?
I'm not familiar with the mulch that he's referring to.
Snails mulch, yeah.
The nitrogen would kill the plant,
yeah,
as opposed to just not having it flower and produce fruit.
Yeah, it's strange to have a plant grow so well and not flower, right?
So my question is it possible that they were spraying for mosquitoes and then they didn't get pollinators because those will keep the bees away, and you won't get tomatoes without bees coming in to pollinate?
It's true. We've got a bunch of people around me that will go and have mosquito spray done. I see the trucks driving all the time.
Well,
haven't seen praying mantises. I haven't seen mosquitoes. I haven't seen anything this year.
So there's nothing there to pollinate the tomatoes, and therein lies the problem.
Ah.
You can have all the mulch you want. lobsters and crabs or whatever. But if you don't have bees to, or other pollinators in, or butterflies to pollinate the plants, you're not going to get fruit.
Okay. All right, Doug, that seems to be the problem. I don't know what the solution is. Just beg your neighbors to stop spraying. I don't know. Yeah. I know the village sometimes does it too, and for good reason sometimes too. Of course, it got West Nile and all like that. Yeah. Maybe not the best place to plant tomatoes. I got to go, Doug, over to Kathy instead. Kathy, out of Hoffman Estates, how are you, Kathy?
I'm good. I'm very happy to talk to you guys, especially this Bob. I've called often. He's helped me a lot.
Oh, great.
Bob, I have a Psychocarpus shrub. It's about 8 feet tall. It's very top-heavy. And can I trim it way down? Because the snow is just going to make the branches, like, fall over, and then they never seem to come back in the spring.
Hmm. Not sure the plant. What's
Didn't
the name of
like
it again?
Kathy was very sure of it either. What's it again?
Is it a cypress?
I'm looking at the... I'm probably saying it wrong.
You're giving me the Latin.
I'm looking at the thing. It's P-H-Y-S-O-C-A-R-P-U-S.
That's a nine bark, is what they say. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah. So, yeah. To answer your question, yes, you can prune it now. It'll keep the snow from piling up and tipping the branches. Yeah, you don't want it too top-heavy going in the winter. So you can go ahead and prune it now.
Never do that
All
to
right,
the old Psychocarpus. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You don't know all the Latin names for these,
no,
these plants?
I don't.
These
no.
different varieties?
My Latin stopped at church when I was a young boy, so...
312-981-7200. Call in, text, and got a lot of questions, including the 630 who says, loved hearing about your interest in hostas. I was saying earlier, I want to start the WGN Hosta Club.
Mr. President.
Yep.
This is a member of the Northern Illinois Society, and I think that you'd enjoy visiting our organization. I stopped counting my hosta, though I thought you'd enjoy seeing this year's Madame Wu. This hosta's as big as a human. Some of these hostas get gigantic. I need to come visit and trade hostas with this person because I want to find out more. And I can at NorthernIllinoisHostaSociety.org. There's a hosta society. How about that?
Who would have thought?
Maybe you should get in there for presidency.
Well, maybe treasurer or comptroller first. I don't want to go straight to the top. I got to learn a thing or two about hostas at some point. Okay, 312-981-7200. Tell you what, we got a lot of questions coming on the text line. We'd love to hear your voices, too. We got the news coming up, and then we're going to, even though Lou's not here, he did an interview with Simple Flooring. We're going to be playing some of that. And then plenty more time to get your calls or questions in. John Hanson in for Lou Manfredini, but fear not, Mr. Lou Manfredini recorded a great interview with our friends over at Simple Flooring, and here it is on WGN.
Lou Manfredini on the phone line right now is David Chisholm, who is the Vice President of Marketing and Customer Service over at A.O. Smith. David, good morning, and welcome to House Smarts Radio.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me.
Can you give me a little bit of a background before we start about A.O. Smith? I know you've been with the company quite some time, so I bet you got a little bit of the history in your back pocket.
I do. You're right. I've been with the organization for 20 years. I fancy myself a little bit of a historian of A.O. Smith. We actually celebrated our 150th anniversary last year.
Wow.
So we're a tried and true, you know, we're based, headquartered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, got operations all over the U.S., but we're a global manufacturer, but yeah, based right here in the United States. 150-year-old history, and we've been in everything from automotive to grain storage facilities to motors to water heaters, a long, long history of manufacturing in the United States. I'm actually on a road trip right now, and it's kind of fun for me on my road trip as I drive down the interstates or you get into the back countries and you see these big grain storage facilities, big silos, that are blue with white caps. Your listeners, now that you see it, you'll never unsee it. Blue silos on the side of the road, you'll look at the top and it'll say A.O. Smith Harvest Store.
Yeah.
At the top, those are made by A.O. Smith. So no. We've been in everything from water heating to automobiles to you name it.
That's great.
150-year-old company, and it's a wonderful company to work for. Like I said, been here 20 years. Wonderful culture and really, really good at what we do in the water heater game.
Well, based out of Milwaukee, there's good people up there, so that's a good sign right there in the Midwest. I like that. So here you are, A.O. Smith, probably the preeminent manufacturer of water heaters. You know, there's a couple other ones that are out there, but you make a lot of brands. In other words, there's a lot of water heaters that may have a different sticker on them, but they're made in your plants. And one of the things that, and I think you'll admit this, that you've been a little slow to get into was the on-demand water heater business. And I know a few people that work for your company, and I used to give them a hard time about that. And then lo and behold, a year or two ago, I run into a couple of those folks, and they say, we've got some new technology. We think we have now created one of the best on-demand water heaters out there, and we're coming out with our guns a-blazing because we think this is going to be a game-changer for the industry. Talk to me a little bit about that heater, those heaters, rather, that you've got on the market right now.
You're right. So full transparency, Lou, I've been here 20 years, and you're right. When tankless first came to the United States, there was a little bit of skepticism around it. But to be fair, A. O. Smith has been making tank-type water heaters since the 1930s.
Right.
We patented the glass lining process. That's really the health, what keeps the water heater healthy on the interior of the tank. And we've been doing this for many, many, many years. So when tankless first came in, those products came typically from either Europe or Japan or Korea. And, we watched the industry was slow to take off. And as we saw it become a substantial or meaningful part of the U.S. market, we said we've got to get into this and get in a meaningful way. So what's unique about the tankless water heater industry is I think most consumers know you can get continuous hot water out of that tank. And that's really what consumers have latched onto around tankless. What consumers aren't as well aware of is that, you know, these products came from Japan originally. And the water quality in Japan is literally snow melt off of Mount Fuji. So the water that's being put through tankless in Japan is pristine. Well, now you come into the United States market, and we all know that a lot of markets in the U.S. have hard water. We have scale in our water. We have hard water. Well, that does a lot of damage to a tankless water heater.
Right.
So if you know a little bit about A.O. Smith, we're big into water heating, but we're also really, really big in water treatment. So water filtration, water softening, we have a lot of technology in that space as well. And when we realized that the tankless kind of Achilles heel is that you have to do maintenance on tankless annually or they will fail. Think about it as little arteries where the hot water or where the water is passing through is you've got this big burner. Well, if you build up scale in those little arteries, over time the water heater is going to fail. So you had to do maintenance to keep that water heater operating through the years.
Yeah,
and we said, that's not good.
Right. Hold on. I'm going to stop you because to kind of explain to the audience, too, part of that issue is that the way that these on-demand water heaters work is that heat exchanger that's in there is enormous. It is a lot bigger than what you have in a tank water heater. And so that high heat and the technology of having to heat that water so quickly as it's flowing through is what makes that scale so detrimental to the unit.
That's right. So think of it, it's either copper or stainless steel, but it's going to be tubes that go back and forth, and the water passes through that with a really, really big burner under it. So you're heating the water on the fly
It
passes through that heat exchanger, and that's how you get the on-demand hot water. But those tubes can clog. Think about it as cholesterol in your arteries over time.
Right. So you figured out some kind of Lipitor for the water heater.
That's exactly right. So our engineers put our heads together and said, the biggest problem with tankless is this scale buildup. How do we build a product from the ground up that's designed to address that? And that's where this product is really unique. It's got a unique heat exchanger, but it's got integrated scale prevention, scale protection on the water heater. So it literally is a maintenance-free first, the industry's first, industry's only maintenance-free tankless water heater that we're bringing to market here. And it's addressing kind of the dirty little secrets about tankless, but also bringing all the bells and whistles and the features that our consumers and our customers are looking for.
And that,
so we're really, really excited about
that bigger line. That bigger unit with, I think you call it the X3 technology, right? Or 3X? Mm-hmm. What is it? Which is it?
X3.
X3, uh-huh. Right. So that's that. Yep. That's the technology to take care of the scale. But then practically, a unit like that, right? How many bathrooms are we able to accomplish, you know, with a unit like that? I mean, is there, you know, there is a little bit of a learning curve using an on-demand water heater, but you could easily simultaneously do a couple showers, right? And even the dishes in the kitchen type of deal.
Yeah, no problem. So we have different BTUs, or think of this small, medium, large, you know,
right,
for different applications. And yeah, you need to make sure you're spot on. You have to size the water heater for the need of the home. So it's not a one size fits all kind of scenario, but I will say, the majority of the volume is in the 199,000 BTU version, and that will hit the majority of the household sizes. But it is a good cautionary note to say, if you're considering tankless, make sure that you size it appropriately for the home, because if you've got multiple bathrooms or if you've got large families, you want to make sure that you're getting the right amount of product in your home. And you can do multiple. You know, there's nothing that says you can't put two tankless in and make sure that you're addressing the needs if you got a high-demand home.
I'm working on putting a video together. I actually personally just put in one of these A.O. Smith on-demand water heaters, and the installation went great. And, you know, I was reading about all the different things that it can do, you know, Wi-Fi enabled. You can put it in a series. You know, if you're putting this, if you're in an apartment building and you wanted to have several of them and you wanted to be able to monitor the you know, the usage of the system or make sure they're all online, it has the ability to do that. From an install, you know, for plumbers that are listening, I mean, the venting can be 3-inch or 2-inch. And what I was really surprised by was my experience with these on-demand water heaters always was that the gas line coming in had to be a bigger gas line. You know, there were situations where you had to resize the gas meter because of what was used there, and you still have to do some calculations to make sure, but you're only putting a half-inch gas line, which is what a traditional tank water heater is fed with as well. So it really does make the installation for the professional a lot easier than what was available in the past.
That's right, and that's, quite frankly, that's why we called it the ADAPT series. So it's the ADAPT series from A.O. Smith, because it indoor, outdoor, three-quarter gas line, half-inch gas line, 2-inch venting, 3-inch venting. We wanted to be very flexible, very adaptable for different applications, to be easy to install for our contractor base and to provide all of that value for the end user, for the homeowner.
I know that, you know, there's, you know, a lot of the Energy Star products, you know, qualify for different rebates. And I do realize that right now a lot of that stuff's in limbo. But, you know, as we're speaking today, there are some tax incentives as well, because this is an Energy Star rated product, correct? So there might be a situation where you could take a tax deduction by installing one of these.
That's correct. Yep. You're right. The Energy Star program in general is getting some scrutiny, and there may be future changes to that. But as it stands today, this one does qualify for local rebates. Oftentimes, it's upwards of $1,300 in some states.
Wow.
And then the federal credit is up to $600.
And it says here, and this is something a lot of people should know, is you talked about that hard water, and sometimes manufacturers on their warranty, if an area has hard water, that it can void or lessen the warranty. That is not the case if you install one of these units.
That's right. If you're buying a unit, and we call it X3 technology, because really what it does, it extends the life of the water heater, makes it last up to three times longer.
Wow.
Because we're actually eliminating or preventing the scale from precipitating in the heat exchanger, to get technical, with the with our technology. So if you see one with X3 technology, you know you have one with that scale prevention attached to it. And you're right. This whole area of scale and tankless is kind of the dirty little secret that once you get into it, you realize, yeah, I got to do my annual maintenance. And if I have scale that goes above X grains of hardness and I don't do my annual maintenance, then my warranty is voided
right.
on this water heater.
Right.
And we said, that's a problem. The majority, I think 85% of the U.S. has what's considered hard water.
Yeah.
So if 85% of your market is going to have to deal with this issue, how about let's just design a product that addresses it from the ground up instead of having to deal with it after the fact.
I love that. And I know when I installed it, the cart, it's almost like a cartridge, right? It sort of hangs off the bottom of the unit like an udder on a mm-hmm. cow, almost like, right? And then that's something that you, it's like a quarter turn type of deal. You replace that probably every, what, couple, 3 years?
No, that's the thing on this one is that it's designed to be for the life of the unit. Wow. There's no replacement cycle on it.
Wow. It just keeps working.
That's right.
Hmm. All right. So you're the marketing guy. So I think that, you know, use the – we invented Lipitor for the water heater. That's, you use that. And then right. the X3 cartridge hangs underneath like an udder, kind of a homage
like
to
udder.
Homage to your farming, you know, division, right? So that'll go over well.
Yeah, we are based in Milwaukee. So.
There's a lot of cows heads. Up there.
Yeah,
that's right.
In Milwaukee,
absolutely.
Right?
David Chisholm is the vice president of marketing and customer service. Really good stuff. Very interesting. I love this technology. I'm really happy that you guys solved this thing. I think you've got a little magic dust in this unit. I really like it. How do people learn more, David, about A.O. Smith and all the different products that you guys make?
Great question. So we've been in water heating for quite some time, so we were early on at grabbing the domain, so it's easy to remember. Hotwater.com.
I love it.
Is A.O. Smith's website for our water heater division. So you can either go to aosmith.com and find out about our whole portfolio of products, water heating, water treatment, all of the above. Or if you're just specifically looking for the water heater, go to hotwater.com and you can find everything that you need to find.
When the internet was just beginning, there was probably some young intern working over at A.O. Smith and he came in, "Hey boss, I got that domain hotwater.com." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" He's probably now since retired as executive vice president. David, nice to meet you on the phone, and congratulations on this great new product. Continued success over there at A.O. Smith.
We really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Lou.
You're listening to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
And right before that break, Chicago, a sports town, football, baseball, basketball, hockey. We love our sports. And if you're looking for an SUV with plenty of sporty attitude and a custom look, your local Chevy dealer has the perfect ride. The Chevy Equinox, the SUV and all-around athlete loaded with next-generation driving technology like HD surround vision. Available all-wheel drive and over 15 standard safety and driver assistance features, including forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and lane keep assist. Plus, with built-in Wi-Fi hotspot for up to 7 devices, your entire family stays connected 24/7 with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. You can sync your smartphone playlist for streaming everything to everyone, for everyone, to and from the game. And keep your vehicle running right this fall with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. With their factory trained technicians and GM certified parts, you're guaranteed to get the job done right the first time. Right now, get 1.9% APR financing plus no monthly payments for 90 days on a 26 Chevy Equinox. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details. Sports fans, we've got your MVP, the Chevy Equinox. 312-981-7200. Call on in for House Smarts Radio. Radian's behind the glass today, producing. Bob Ferguson doing the engineering. And our panel today, helping us all try and get to Lou's level, Michael Houston, project manager for Lindholm Roofing, Bob Bertog from Bertog Landscaping, and John Betke from Betke Plumbing. You guys ready for some calls?
Let's go. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Here we go. We're going to go to Peter. Peter, you're on WGN. What's your question?
Hey, morning, guys. Love the show. I've got a question for Bob. I have an older, tired lawn. So going into the fall and spring, am I better to be core aerating or power raking that grass?
Mm.
Core aeration is the best thing you can do for your turf. It opens up the root zone, especially this time of year when the plants are storing carbohydrates for the winter. And power raking, I only recommend that if you have a thatch problem. But actually, you want a little bit of thatch up to almost a half an inch where the micronutrients can hang out and you're not exposing the flare of the plant to the sunlight.
So
it helps insulate it.
Aerating if you can.
Aerating now is the best thing you can do to your lawn. Power rake only if it's necessary, and that's something you should probably get a professional opinion on.
And, Peter, talk to your neighbors. Maybe they need to aerate, too. Y'all can rent one machine for the day and just share.
It's a great idea.
I was just thinking that. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Actually, don't go anywhere, Peter. First of all, Bob gave me that tip, and I pretended like it was my own. Peter, hang on the line. Well, Bob, what are we going to give Peter here?
I have a hat or a hoodie. Take your pick.
All right, Peter, hang on the line. What about both? Let's give them both.
Hey, whatever.
Hat and a hoodie. That way Iridian can do less work. We'll hook Peter up with a hat and a hoodie. Peter, thanks for calling. You're on the line. Let's go to Jim out in Batavia. Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Listen, I wanted to ask, I think his name is Mike, the roof guy.
Yeah.
If he was the guy that was talking about the World War II veterans a couple months ago, I just want to thank him for his service and everything.
Yeah, wonderful.
Jim, yeah, that was me. Do you remember that? Do you remember what I had said?
Yeah, and I appreciate any help that the veterans can get.
You're talking about the taxes.
Yeah, I'm talking about the real estate taxes.
Yes.
Any right. World War II veteran that served during World War II, whether he was in the field or stateside, that served during World War II in the state of Illinois is exempt from property taxes on their primary residence.
Or surviving spouse. Unfortunately, there's not too many of them left, but that's a good reminder. And Jim, good call for reminding us about that. And who's the friend in the background, Jim?
It's my dog friend.
Well, what's his name?
Mackie.
Mackie, okay.
Her. Actually, I don't know if you guys are that old, but I named the dog after Chico Mackie, who was one of the Blackhawks players.
Yeah, that's a great one, Jim. And the Hawks have the home opener today. Do you have a question for the panel, by the way?
Yes, I do. I'm wanting to ask Mike, if his company installs anything for fencing to deter squirrels from jumping on my roof. They're all over the place, and I just got a new roof on recently, and I think the squirrels want to get back in.
You know, I don't know that there's, like, fencing per se that we can put up on a roof to deter them, but the best thing to do would be to probably prune the trees back so that they don't have that ladder to just get up there and be able to get down.
Because that's trouble if it's up there like that.
Right.
All right. So, yeah, Jim, either you get up there and prune or hire someone to do it, because there's no product that's going to deter the squirrels from going up there. You can't give them write a strongly worded letter or anything along those lines. That's not going to work, is it, Mike?
And ambiguously legal documents they can't read.
Well, we'll cover that in the Let's Get Legal show at 1 o'clock. Jim, hang on the line. I want to hook you up with Mr. Floor Cleaner, okay?
All right, thank you.
Maybe we can give him a Lindholm hat.
And let's give him a Lindholm hat, too. Look at that, Jim with a Lindholm hat and a Mr. Floor Cleaner. By the way, I know you do a lot of great work with vets in the VFW. Michael, you've got a thing kind of going on all month long that helps out the VFW in Villa Park, right?
It's the pumpkin patch out front of our VFW at 39 East St. Charles Road in Villa Park in the Jewel parking lot. A lot of activities for kids. We're selling pumpkins. The proceeds go to help veterans.
I love that.
Pumpkin patch at Villa Park VFW.
All right, let's go to Linda. Linda, you're on WGN. Hi, Linda.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I am calling because about a month or so ago, I bought a lock for my fence because the lock that I have on it, I can't take it off. It's broken. My grandson... it had frozen, and he hit it, and I guess you would call it the guts, the thing where you stick the key in, is not in it. And I went to Ace, got this nice lock, but I can't get that lock off, and I didn't want to have to call a locksmith because it would, you know, cost me a fortune for him to maybe even cut it off.
Yeah.
Do you have any suggestions?
So it's on the fence, and it's just you can't get the lock apparatus, the guts, off of the fence.
I can't get it off of the fence.
There's so many different locks and types of locks. Is there any way that you could text a couple of photos of the lock?
Oh, you know what? I can just tell you, it's just a standard. I went out and got a laminated steel double lock and lock. It's just the lock, and I have a key for it. This time, I have a better one.
Mm. Yeah, it's hard to tell without knowing exactly what it looks like, Linda. If you can, you could always take a picture of it and text it to the same number that you called. And if you keep on listening, we will be able to look at it and might be able to offer some suggestions. Because, it's a little hard to do without explaining because there's so many different kinds. But we want to get someone to help you out with that.
I have another question also.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I hope it'll be okay. Is the gardening man still present?
Oh, he's still here.
I thought I heard them say that if you have a weed, that you could get a weed killer, especially if it's intertwined with another plant that you want to save, that you could get gloves, spray the weed killer on your hand, and just massage it on the weed and kill it and not hurt the plant that you're trying to save. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, that's a good question, Bob.
And we talked about it on Wednesday.
Oh, right.
You take a rubber glove and then take like a car mitt that you use like washing your car and put that over the rubber glove and then go ahead and put the herbicide on the glove and then just like you said, massage the undesirable plant that you want and the herbicide will translocate down into the root zone and kill the plant. And that way you're not going to harm the desirable plants next to it.
Yeah, because spraying that aerosol, whatever you're spraying can get, unfortunately, on the plants you don't want done.
Correct.
Linda, you heard right, and you're an avid WGN listener, I can tell. Thank you.
Yes, I am. And I thank both of you so very much.
You're kind. Send a picture of the lock, and maybe someone can follow up with you, or maybe we answer it on air, Linda, okay?
All right, enjoy your day.
All right, we got to take a quick break here, everyone. 312-981-7200. Get your questions on in. We also have John Betke with all your plumbing questions you might have about things happening in your home. A lot of people had a lot of weird noises coming from their pipes earlier in the show. Maybe they've quieted down a little bit. I don't know. But 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And let's go around the horn here really quickly. How can people reach the way, all that you do? Bob Bertog, how do you want people to reach you?
BertogLandscape.com, BERTOG, or 847-279-0028.
And John, 773-276-5430 for Betke Plumbing, right?
That's correct, or BetkePlumbing.com, and you can schedule online.
All right, and Mr. Lindholm, Mr. Houston for Lindholm.
Michael Houston, you can call us at 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com.
All right, let's take a break. More House Smarts Radio after this. 312, please spell the name of the plumbing company that you have on the show. John, I'm sure you get that question a lot. Betke Plumbing.
It is Betke, BAETHKE.
Italian name there? Just joking.
No.
A lot of consonants in a row there. Okay. Yes. We'll spell it a couple more times before we go. All right, let's go to Patrick. Patrick, you're on WGN. What's your question?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a single sink in my kitchen. It has a garbage disposal. It's not connected to a dishwasher. It's a standalone sink, like a slop sink or cooking that has. I've had an issue for a while. So when you run water through it, it will not drain. But when I run the garbage disposal, it will drain.
Huh.
As soon as you turn it off, it starts to fill up again. So I've done everything. I've done baking powder and baking soda, I think it is, and vinegar. I've even though it says don't use
X, Y, or Z on it, yeah.
Fog cleaners.
Uh-huh. Yeah, all right, so what do you think, John?
So it sounds like you might have a venting issue. So, the disposal is going to push, so that's going to force it through. But if you have, you might need to get into the wall and get the vent cleaned out so that it can have the proper air exchange so that it can drain properly.
Can you explain how it would look like behind the wall? There's a vent. How does that?
So the pipe leaves the garbage disposal. It goes into the wall horizontally. And at that point, there's a pipe that goes up. That's where the air comes in. And then the pipe that goes down is where it drains out. You need that pipe that goes up to be clean so that it can, you can get an air exchange and it can actually drain properly.
Right, because if the water's just standing there, it's not working to go down. The garbage disposal almost creates a push effect.
It forces it through.
John, Patrick, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, all the piping runs down the basement. So, but you're saying there's a vent.
somewhere where I could...
If the piping's exposed in the basement, it might be pretty easy to actually run a drain cleaning tool up from the basement, and that would go up past that T and then clear the vent. So getting a plumber out there, having them get into the pipe in the basement and actually rod upwards.
What would that, I mean, that doesn't seem like too complex. I mean, maybe too complex for me. But like, what would roughly, I know you can't tell us for sure, but is that a $1,000 visit? Is that a couple hundred buck visit? I mean,
if there's a clean out already, not even a thousand.
Okay. Something,
you know, several hundred dollars.
Okay. And that's John Betke from Betke Plumbing. Patrick, maybe give him a call or see if you want to try and tackle that yourself. Thank you, Patrick. Let's go to Deb. Deb, what's your question? Welcome to WGN.
Hey, good morning. I actually have two questions. The first one is I'm looking at purchasing a home that has a boiler heat system versus like a forced air. And I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that type of system. I've never had that before.
Is it hot water or is it steam? Do you know?
Oh, gosh, I think it's water.
So hot water. Well, the simple answer is it's going to be a lot more comfortable than a forced air system. As long as it's been maintained and you've got good infrastructure, a hot water system is far superior to forced air. It's more comfortable. You're not going to dry out your house. The heat is more even. You'd actually probably be far more satisfied with a boiler system.
Okay. What's your question? Second question, Deb.
So the second question is on the wet and forget. I did purchase it earlier this year when I listened to you guys for an outdoor little deck, but I'm wondering if that can be used on like a PVC rubber roof. We have a small sunroom addition that has a little bit of moss on it.
Oh, interesting. You do roofs, Mike Lindholm, and you also, Michael, and you also like wet and forget. Your thoughts?
I do like wet and forget. It does work very well. And yes, you can spray it on that PVC roof. I know what you're talking about, kind of like a window room in the back of the house, a patio.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, just go ahead and spray it on there and let Mother Nature do the rest.
I love that.
Yeah, wow, you guys are great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deb. We were efficient. Two questions, we got it in. And guess what? It's time for Don Kleppen's News. More of your calls after this, 312-981-7200. Sharon, Dan, hang on the line. We'll go to the phone lines here. John Hanson in for Lou Manfredini with a cast of characters around me. Sharon, you're on WGN. Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
What's your question?
I have a question for Bob.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of weeds in my yard that they're growing like along the fence on each side. And they're taller than I am. They're like over 5-6 feet tall now.
Whoa, okay. Those are big.
And they have like these, some of them have these yellow things that look like feathers on them. And other ones look like they got white flowers and they're just full of wasps.
A lot of native weeds, it seems like, Bob.
Yeah.
And what's the question? How to get rid of those suckers?
Yeah, how am I going to get rid of them? And should I just leave them until the spring or?
Good question.
You can't pull them because they're too tall and their roots are in there too hard.
Okay, so you have tried to pull them out.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
So this late in the season, the plants aren't going to take up too much of a herbicide, so I would cut them down, especially if they're unsightly. And then as they start to come up in the spring, when they're nice, soft, and tender, that's when you hit them hard with a non-selective herbicide.
Yeah, don't let them get taller than you next year, Sharon.
Yeah.
Get them early.
The heat and the humidity got me this year.
Oh,
I
bet.
Get out there.
Oh, I bet. No, yeah, you're absolutely
right. And
then
that made them grow even faster.
Yep, they did. They did. And then
I wanted to grow some roses, behind some of them and put some bushes in there so I don't have to look at weeds anymore. But I wouldn't be able to do that then this spring if I have to put Roundup all over it, right?
Well, the non-selective herbicide will get rid of them pretty quickly, and then you'll be able to plant right away.
Yeah, so as they come up in late April, May, end of May, rip them out, maybe, or do the Roundup or whatever you're going to do.
Yeah, cut them down now.
Cut them down now.
Then when they start to sucker in the spring, that's when you hit them when they're nice and tender.
Right, and then you'll still have time to plant.
Yep.
Yeah, my husband's tried digging them out, and they're just like happy to say, thank you, we have more room to grow.
Yeah, you need to put something else there.
Digging them, and they keep coming back.
Bushes or hostas, whatever you need. Pack it on in. That's my recommendation, Sharon.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, right? Pack into the areas if you want, right?
Yeah.
I do hostas in a shady area. God, I keep on talking about hostas. It's a little good.
You're going to be the president.
I'm going to be the president of the Hosta Association pretty soon. I'm gunning for you, whatever association that was. Let's go to Dan. Dan, you're on WGN. Hello, how are you?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I have had frozen water pipes the last few winters. Nothing's ever burst, but they've been, it's behind drywall. Feeds an upstairs bathroom and a main level washing machine. So I'm trying to figure out if cutting the drywall and just packing insulation around those pipes is best, or I've been told heat trace on the pipes.
This is John Becky Plumbing is going to tell you what to do.
So heat trace is good. Unfortunately,
what is heat trace?
Heat trace, it's like a cable, so it looks like an extension cord, but it gets warm. The problem with heat trace is you put that behind the wall, it doesn't last forever. So it lasts 2-3 seasons, it dies. Now you got to open the wall again to put new heat trace in. So it's a temporary fix. If you're going to open the wall, is it possible to relocate the pipes away from that outside wall?
I don't think so, not easily.
Okay, if you can't, you got to get a really good insulating contractor in there. Do not wrap the pipes with insulation. That's not going to solve the problem. You got to break the barrier. So what you want to do is have the pipes actually exposed to the warmth on the drywall side, but then on the other side, on the outside part, that's where you want like a nice, dense polyiso foam or even spray foam so that you're not subject to that cold from the exterior.
Yeah. And that sounds like a job for a professional, John.
That's a job for a professional.
And for an insulation professional.
An insulation professional.
Okay, yeah, because Dan, you're lucky the pipes haven't burst. And I wouldn't mess with that this year.
Got it. Okay, thank you so much.
All right, very good stuff. 312-981-7200. In just a little bit, we've got our last call, and that's going to be exciting. So get on the line, 312-981-7200. Before I forget, guys, I've been meaning to talk about this all day. Next Saturday, we're doing something called the Cashman's Cash Bash. So if anyone listens to my program, Your Money Matters, and I have him on other times, Brian the Cashman, he's from AmeriCash. He does the buying and the selling of the old gold, but he often is on my show telling us how much our stuff is worth, sports memorabilia, all this stuff. Price of gold is insane right now. And we've had so many people texting in telling us that they went to Brian with like just old chains that they didn't even know if they were gold or not. They brought in a bunch of them. He'll sort through them in Westmont, and people are walking away with like $800. Someone texted in that they walked in with just some old tea set, but it happened to be sterling silver, walked away with $5,000.
Wow.
Suffice to say, check it out before you throw it out. So next Saturday from 10 to noon, we're doing what's called the Cash Bash. I'm going to be there. Brian the Cashman at AmeriCash is going to be there. He's going to look through your old stuff. We're going to have some donuts there or bagels. It's going to be a little brunch, 10 to noon at AmeriCash. The Cash Bash, 16 West Ogden in Westmont. So if you got that old stuff and you've been waiting to bring it to Brian the Cash Man and you want his autograph or maybe a picture with me, that's usually not the selling point, guys, but you can come to the Cash Bash next Saturday, 10 to noon.
I'm bringing my tea set.
You're going to bring the tea set?
I'm good now.
You got a nice little tea set?
I'll find one.
Yeah, you'll find one. Yeah, exactly. Now it's crazy. People walk in there with or coins. People walk in there with boxes of old coins. They don't know anything. And Brian has no problem. He's so quick with it because he knows the years that he knows every little thing about a coin. So he goes through. I've watched him do it. And just, okay, add it on up, boom. And people walk out. We were the last Cash Bash we did, I think, in April or May. I mean, literally, someone brought in just a box of old stuff, walked out with $1,200. And they're just like, I've been looking to throw this out. Just one other note. Don't clean your coins before you bring them in. Brian says if you clean them, it can diminish the value. He had one coin he ended up buying for $10,000 for someone that if they hadn't cleaned would have been worth $140,000. Just as someone was like, I want to make it sparkle for the cash man. No, he wants it gritty and grimy, and often that is worth more. 312-981-7200. All right, that's the Cash Bash next Saturday. Jim, you're on WGN with a question for Bob, I believe.
Yes, I have arborvitaes. I live two blocks from the forest reserve, and I'm getting older. I'm tired of wrapping them up to keep the deer from eating them.
Yeah.
Is there something I can spray on there to keep the deer from eating them?
And these deer for the arborvitae.
There's a lot of products.
Prevention of deer, yes.
Prevention. They love the arbs. There's a product called Deer Scram, but if deer are hungry, they're going to eat whatever they want. It's hard to stop them. actually your physical barrier that you put up, I know you said you're old and tired and don't want to do it, but that's actually the best prevention.
Than spraying something on there. Yeah, I know there's like a lot of deer resistant sprays I see, but
the netting and the burlap wrap is the best.
Yeah,
to keep away.
Jim, just pay someone young to do it, okay?
Question.
Yeah, what's up?
The cemeteries, the flat markers, the grass grows over them. Is there something I can? Is it Roundup or Spectracide? I just spray on there to keep the grass from growing over the grave markers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a non-selective herbicide. Yes,
over the grave.
Roundup.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
All right, 312-981-7200. Tell you what, let's take a break. We'll get to Brian. Maybe he'll be Lou's last call. We'll find out. 312-981-7200. Get your questions in. I see the text line's got a bunch of them. Would love you on the phone line instead. We'll do that in just a bit. Okay, let's go to Richard on WGN. Richard, welcome to House Smarts Radio. How can we help you today?
Well, I'm calling about a hardwood floor. I've had this floor for about 23 years. It was new in the house, and it's still in very good condition. But I've never used anything to clean or wax it other than like a spick and span on a damp mop. Starting to show a little bit of wear in some places, but I'd like to be able to maybe clean it and put a wax coat on it, and I'm not sure what to use for that.
Well, I'd clean it with Mr. Floor Cleaning Products, number one. A lot of the other products, especially just the mop with the water, no good for the warping and the other issues that could happen. And a lot of the other cleaners are really abrasive, and they might make it look clean, but then they get cloudy, right? They get that gritty look to it. That's no good either. So Mr. Floor, you probably heard us talk about him and what he does. I think that would be the recommendation for cleaning the floor, if I'm right, Michael, right? Yeah, that's what we got to do there.
I would say stay away from the water and the spick and span.
Yeah, that's no good. As for
I just use a damp sponge mop. It's not a water. I don't spill water all over.
Yeah, you're not
like
dumping
that,
the bucket and then leaving. Yeah, no, that's good.
Yeah.
As for the wax sealant, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Mike?
No,
that might be a Lou question next week.
The Mr. Floor cleaning products are going to help you out a lot.
Yeah, they get rid of the grime too. Even if it's built up pretty good, even if it's grimy and all that, Iridian can give you the phone number for Mr. Floor and the information if you hang on the line, Richard. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you'll chat with Iridian on the back end of this. Okay. Let's go to Richard. Did I just call him Richard? Oh, wait, do we have two floor questions? Hold on. Now I'm confused. Iridian, who did I just talk to? I'm going to Brian. There's two floor questions in a row. Hey, Brian, your floor question number two. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. I'm looking at a project. Actually, I'm looking at the stairs right now. We just moved into this place about 30 years ago and finally ripped the floors up or the carpet up in the stairs, and they look horrible. Do you think I should do a DIY resurface and sand it myself or hire someone else to do it and put covers on the steps and risers?
How handy are you?
I'd give myself an 8 out of 10.
That's pretty handy. That is a hard project.
If it's something you've never done before, we're all shaking our heads here.
Yeah, you get one shot at it, too, kind of. Like, you don't want to do this one wrong.
I'd hire.
Yeah, I would hire, too, Brian.
I would agree.
What do you suppose? Let me ask you this again. I'm looking at it right now. There's 14 steps going up, bottom to top. What do you think a fair price for me to... And looking at the sides, there's paint that needs to be removed. What do you think a fair price for me to look for to have someone else do it?
I wish I could give you a recommendation. None of us are flooring folks. Do you have any idea, Mike? I don't want to shoot a number out there at you.
That's fine.
Let's take Iridian, take Brian's information down, and we can send that in a note to Lou, and maybe he might be able to email or text or something and get an answer back to you, Brian.
Absolutely.
I just don't want to lead you astray and throw a number out there, and then you're telling contractors, well, John Hansen told me on the radio. Well, John Hansen doesn't know what he's talking about. So
let's be honest, you're not the first person I've asked the same question to.
Have you gotten other answers?
Do it yourself, Brian. You can do it. Well, it might take me a year, which someone else could do in a day.
Exactly. And also, like, stairs? I mean, that's a lot of uneven surfaces. A lot of these sanders... I mean, you've really got to know how to use these tools to do it evenly. Like, if it was a straightaway, like a strip down the middle of a floor, and you weren't even going, like, that you could maybe try on your own, but I wouldn't mess this up, Brian, really.
I can hear where you're coming from.
Yeah, because I give myself an 8 out of 10. Yeah, thank you very much, Brian. I give myself an 8 out of 10. I probably shouldn't give myself an 8 out of 10. But, like, we've redone our basement. We've done flooring down there, like just the vinyl floor, the planking, that sort of stuff. Done some drywall, done some other paneling. But something like sanding a floor, electricity, plumbing, I think those are my areas where I'm like, you don't want to mess any of that up. Roofing, I don't want to mess that up.
I'll give myself an 8 out of 10 in general also. I can do just a few things.
Oh, I thought you meant as a human being you give yourself an 8 out of 10. You said in general.
In general.
I'd say you're a 9 as a human.
Thanks.
Room for improvement, but overall pretty good.
Nice. Thanks.
312-981-7200. Tell you what, I'm going to take this break right now because we want our last call after the break. Lou's last call, 312-981-7200. Get on the line. Got a bunch of text messages we can get through too, but I want to hear your voice. It comes with some extra prominence being Lou's last call. You get a whole announcement. I don't know if there's sound effects. Maybe we can make something up. 312-981-7200. Call now. Then we'll have the end of the show and news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom all coming up. All right. Time for Lou's last call, sponsored by Mitsubishi Electric. When heating and cooling your home, Mitsubishi Electric is the last call you need to make. Let's go with Sherry. Sherry, you're on WGN. What's your question?
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm doing great.
I texted one about a plant, and I also have a toilet sediment question.
Okay, go with the toilet one for now. We gotta move quickly.
That's fine. And it's almost like a chalky sediment, and it's hard to get up, and I'll use, like, the little hand pump soap things. I'll use that plasticing and try to scrape it out. But it's very hard. It's almost like a chalk. I don't know if that's limestone. I know Naperville has lime quarries.
Is this in the bowl or is this in the tank?
Both, the tank and the bowl.
Any thoughts on that, John?
Well, Naperville still draws Lake Michigan water, so we're about 9 grains of hardness. So it's just the minerals settling out of the water.
Okay. So, nothing you
regular
can really
cleaning.
Regular cleaning, cleaning operations, yep, for that. Sherry, thanks for the call. Sorry we didn't get to the plant one as well. I got about 30 seconds left, so I want to go around the horn. Thank you, first of all, guys, for keeping us show on the rails and keeping us going with Lou out. Michael, how can we reach you in Lindholm?
Lindholm Roofing, you can reach us at 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com.
John?
And Betke Plumbing, 773-276-5430 or BAETHKEplumbing.com.
Mr. Bertog?
Bertog Landscape Company, 847-279-0028 or bertoglandscape.com.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.